Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you would like to be a guest in the show, please send me an email to Kevin at friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, please visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited today, I got my friend Olga Briggs with us from Lifetime Tax and Accounting. And today we're going to be talking about what to do when you get a letter from the IRS. Olga, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's my pleasure.
So, Olga, today we're going to talk a little bit about the IRS. And everyone gets really afraid if you get a letter from the IRS. So why don't we start there? You open up the mailbox, you see the envelope from the IRS. What should you do next?
It's a good question, considering that now is the time of the year when the IRS starts sending those letters out. Well, first and foremost is do not panic and do not ignore it. Do not put it in the drawer and forget about it. That's the biggest mistake that people make. You have to open it. You have to read it carefully. And you have to pay attention to what tax year that letter pertains to, what tax type, and see what they really want, because there are really several types of letters that the IRS can send you. First type is they correcting an error that you or someone else made, and there is no action needed. Second type is a good news. It's they're correcting an error that results in refunds, so they're telling you they're sending you money. But I would say 90% of the letters that they send is when they assess additional tax. And basically, if that happens, if you see the additional tax is assessed, do not assume that you owe that tax. What I usually recommend is pulling out the records for that year and comparing to what the IRS is saying and what your records are showing. And there are two cases when the additional tax is assessed is when either additional income is found that you didn't report on a tax return or when they reject certain deductions, so tax credits. If additional income is found, usually this is something that you forgot about, some other entity reported it on your behalf to the IRS, and in this case, there's very little you can do to reduce that income, but what you can do is to look for additional expenses that may be related to that income, and it can reduce the taxable portion of it. Also, if they're denying tax credits or certain deductions, again, you have to take a look and see, are you truly eligible for those deductions? It makes sense, maybe consult with a tax accountant or enrolled agent or tax attorney or find a section of the IRS code that would say, yes, those types of deductions are legitimate. And in many cases, I recommend writing a response to the IRS and stating your point, arguing your particular case. And in many cases, they would agree with your point. It's just their review system, which is automatic right now, does not accept those numbers right away. So unless you are agreeing with the change 100%, always respond and write a letter stating your point why you were claiming those deductions or if you have anything additional to report.
Now, Olga, before I do this and I write a letter, should I seek out a qualified person like yourself to help me state my point?
Can,
you know,
it
just
is recommended.
Someone just sending
yes,
a letter?
It is recommended, yes, because CPAs, accountants, or even enrolled agents, or if you, even if you have an enrolled person who prepared your tax return, they can help you draft that letter and write a response. I would recommend that, yeah, if you have that opportunity.
So what do you think is the biggest mistake? People just taking the letters and throwing them away? I find most people just try to, you know, ignore it and hope it goes away. It doesn't, though, right?
Two big mistakes that people make. First big mistake is they do not file when it's due. And second big mistake is when they ignore IRS correspondence. It is very far from the truth believing that the IRS problems will go away on their own. They will never go away unless you deal with them. That's an unfortunate truth about it.
So how about if you're in a situation where you simply didn't file or you made an honest mistake on your return and you find you owe money? What are some of the different approaches you can take to kind of settle this as quickly as possible?
Okay. Well, it would all depend on how much you owe, and it would depend on your financial situation, and it would depend on where in the collection process you are. I mean, if you just received a letter and they're saying that you owe and you agree with the amount, you cannot do anything about it, and if you can pay the balance within 3 months, you don't have to do anything at all. You can just send them the money within 3 months in installment payments or all in full, and you are done with them. Now, if 3 months is not enough, and if your liability is under $50,000, you can go and apply for installment agreement. The IRS, in general, approves any installment agreements that can be paid within 72 months. In certain circumstances, you can negotiate longer terms, but it will take some effort to do that. Now, if a taxpayer is in a dire situation, he or she owes money regardless of the amount, and cannot pay it right away or in the near future. It may be either a low-income situation or no-income situation or some financial difficulties, maybe medical issues and so on and forth. You can call the IRS and you can request to put that debt in the currently uncollectible status. What it does is they stop calling you and sending you letters. Of course, you have to provide proof that you are in a dire situation. But if that happens, the debt by itself does not go away. But they stop calling you and sending you letters. They will keep accruing interest. There is a possibility that if you have any property or assets, those assets will have a lien on them from the IRS. And if you are earning any income and you're paying taxes and you end up overpaying taxes, of course, they will keep the refund to themselves to cover that liability. But at least it reduces the stress of, you know, not having to hear from them every month.
Yeah, definitely makes sense.
Yes. Certain circumstances, there is an option that is called offer and compromise. There are two types of offer and compromise. In short words, first one is doubt as to liability, is when a taxpayer believes that he or she does not owe the whole amount or part of the amount of the tax. Offer and compromise usually filed when it's a little further down the collection process. If they missed the deadlines of applying for payment agreements, or if it's denied, or if they cannot pay the full amount. Second type of offer and compromise is doubtless collectability. It's when the taxpayer really doesn't have the resources to pay. And that offer and compromise basically offers you an opportunity to negotiate a settlement for a lower amount of money. There are some strict terms to it. You absolutely, in any case, when you start negotiating with the IRS, you have to be current on all tax filings. You have to be current on current year estimated tax payments. And you have to kind of show them the attitude that you really, really want to work with them and resolve this debt. So in this case, you have to show your financial situation. You have to file a form that shows the financial affidavit form that shows how much you have in assets, what your income is, what your basic reasonable expenses are. And based on that, they can make a decision whether to grant you that reduction in liability or not. And the very last, I would say, resort is bankruptcy. But you have to remember that not all federal debt is discharged in bankruptcy. So you really have to talk to a bankruptcy attorney about it before you proceed in that route.
So now, Olga, what happens if I am unresponsive and now the IRS has placed a lien on my property or even on my paycheck? What do I do?
Having a lien or levy on your paycheck or bank account, it is very scary. It is the last resort for the IRS to get any money out of you. But it's not the end of the world. In this case, I do strongly recommend finding a professional who can actually, who knows that process. And again, it will entail very aggressive negotiations with the IRS to remove those liens as fast as possible. And full cooperation of taxpayer is always required in that case. That's about it.
Now, how about if I'm facing an audit? You know, what should I do?
In that case, again, it depends. There are two types of audits that the IRS conducts these days. Majority of them are what I call is correspondence audits. It's when they send you a letter requesting certain information or proof of certain expenses. Usually it's on the deduction side. The IRS normally knows about all of your reportable income. But the deductions is what's audited. So all you have to do is put together a package responding strictly to what they're asking for. If they need proof of certain expenses, you have to include bank statements, receipts, and so on and forth to pay attention to the deadline to respond. If you are in a, I don't know, travel situation or busy work schedule or some other circumstances, you can always call and request an extension to provide them with the required documentation. Now, the second type of audits is face-to-face, obviously. You have to bring your shoebox full of receipts to the IRS office and face the agent there, basically. And the face-to-face audits are they're like interviews. They will ask a lot of questions. They will ask a lot of documentary proof. And those audits usually involve several issues or several years. That's why they actually want to do it all at once. I have not, in my practice, I have not seen them last more than 8 hours. So make sure you bring water, maybe a snack, because it can get very daunting. And unless you are missing something that they requested or they need additional information, they provide you with a report at the end of that audit. You don't have to agree to that report. There is a common mistake among taxpayers saying that, oh, well, they audited me, but I still owe and I do not know what to do. You don't have to sign it right away. You can take the copy. You can go and consult with an accountant or a tax person You can appeal that audit if you don't think that the results of the audit are not right. Now, again, the biggest mistake is to not show up or not show up on time or be rude to the IRS agent. They're people too, you know. So when you are facing that kind of audit, just be nice, be polite. Answer questions in full, but not be too chatty, because once you start telling your life story, it usually leads to additional questions. They can lead to additional information that they get that may not be in your favor. So always give them enough, but not too much. The same goes with the documentation, basically.
So good. We got about 10 seconds left. What's your contact information so people can reach out to you?
I can be found. The phone number is 603-230-2404. But the best way to learn about myself and my firm is at our website at www.lifetimetax.com.
Awesome. Olga, really appreciate you taking the time to call into the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Oh, as usual. Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Have a great day. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.